Over this week, we're talking with communities and national voices to see what they see when they consider Hawaii's homelessness situation and what context their experience can give our state. So far, most of the discussion has centered on veteran and chronic homelessness. Many communities we've spoken with are part of several national initiatives to end veteran homelessness by the end of this year and chronic homelessness by December 31st, 2016. Now, though, some input on the response to youth and family homelessness. As in Hawaii, housing costs in Oregon's Multnomah County have increased in recent years. According to the 2015 point in time count, Multnomah County, which includes Portland, has a deficit of 24,845 housing units affordable to lowest income renters, which often includes families and youth transitioning out of foster care and youth who, for a variety of reasons, find themselves on the streets. Mary Lee is the director of the Community Services Division and the Community Action Director for Multnomah County. She joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Yes.
We're often told that identifying homeless youth is one of the most difficult aspects of reaching out to people who are homeless. I talked with one older teen who said that she was so embarrassed by her homelessness, she didn't want anybody to know, and she just tried to, as she put it, blend in. In 2013, though, the Department of Housing and Urban Development said for the first time that communities needed to capture a youth count of unaccompanied homeless youth up to age 24. Mary, if getting quantifiable data on homeless youth is relatively new and still so difficult to get, how can communities really develop effective strategies and best practices to work with youth and families?
Well, I think the first thing that we have learned about doing that is that we have to have an intention to do it. And when I say we have to have an intention, that has to be government, the private sector, law enforcement, child welfare, all of the various systems that potentially touch the life of a young person once they're on the street. And we have to come together and say, what is our intent to work in this arena and to try to serve this population? From there, what we have learned and what we've experienced here in Portland and Multnomah County is everything else falls out from there. So even when there are differences of opinion about why children become homeless or, you know, what's the best strategy, we were able to all come around a single value, which is none of us wants kids living on the street for whatever reason. And focusing there where we had agreement made it possible to figure out what we were going to do next. The other thing I would say is, there's a difference in trying to figure out where you find young people in order to count them and demographically survey them. It's a different thing altogether where you have a staff person working in a relationship-based model who's doing outreach because they want to connect with that young person and help them figure out what they need and where to get it. We have an undercount of homeless youth in our point-in-time count. That we're quite aware of, and we try to do different strategies around that. We do not have an undercount nor a problem in finding homeless youth with whom to engage over a period of time about what they want, what they need, and how they can do it. One story we have is a young woman who's now one of our peer advocates said that for at least 6 months, the only thing she would take from an outreach worker was a cotton swab. She didn't want to hear about services, she didn't want to talk about them, but she wanted a cotton swab. And so for 6 months or more, this outreach worker would find her and give her cotton swabs. That was the doorway, quite frankly, into the work she does now as a member of our oversight committee and as a peer mentor in the system. So I would say think about those two things differently, counting for what purpose or contacting for what purpose.
Taking the first part first, bringing together all of those folks who work with youth from law enforcement to government, child welfare, all of them. How did you do that? How did you get them to align a vision that said, we're going to go out there and work on this together?
Well, again, we tried to look at what we could find to agree upon about the situation rather than focusing on what those differences were and trying to resolve them, which doesn't mean that we don't still have them and we don't bump knees and have to work on them all the time. But when we formed our relationships based on what were our shared values, and where we agreed. So again, this thing of nobody thinks that it's ever okay for whatever reason for a child to be homeless and on the street, and what we want for these children is exactly what we want for each of our own children. And those were the two measuring sticks that we then went into a conversation about. What do services look like? What is outcomes that we're driving towards? How do we reallocate resources? All of those stemmed from there.
Going now to the other part of it, when you're talking about actually being able to outreach to youth, and you mentioned that you've got an undercount. The count that we saw in the point in time count says about 300 or maybe 266. How many more youth do you feel you see out there that you service?
Well, our providers will say they believe that anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 young people are homeless and on the streets in Multnomah County, and that does not include those young people who are couch surfing or who are, marginally. They're home sometimes, they're housed sometimes, sometimes they're not. In our system, we serve about 1,200 young people a year with outreach and engagement services, and then from there, about 1,000 get deeper intensity services.
Now, earlier this morning when we talked to Nan Roman from the National Alliance to End Homelessness, she told us that there are not many resources for families and youth and that there are threats to funding for federal housing programs. She also mentioned that the inventory for low-income affordable rentals has been decreasing. If funding is cut and units continue to decrease, what do you see for homeless families and youth in the next few years?
I am greatly hopeful about what we have been able to do and what we're going to do, and I hope for other places in the country as well. Our system is based in a relationship with each other, with the funding sources, with the young people themselves. And even if there's $1 of resource that we're able to put towards this problem, we need to make sure that that dollar is being spent well, that we have a clarity of focus, that we have an alignment of our values and outcomes, so that that $1, even if it's just $1, gets spent well. Now, what I can tell you is in our, rental market, which is, in the 2 to 3% vacancy rate, and our families and young people are not attractive renters because of their rental history, sometimes their debt, we are able to find and maintain housing for both families with children and homeless youth. In fiscal year 15, we housed almost 400 families into permanent housing. And that's a family a day we placed into housing, and at 12 months after we stopped serving them with rent assistance, over 90% of them were still housed. So in our tight rental market, with the lack of resources we have, all of which are very true barriers, I'm not discounting them at all, we are still able, because of our approach and our laser focus on what we're trying to do, to place significant numbers of families and have them stick.
And that seems to be the real lesson for Hawaii. Do you see anything else that you would pointedly tell Hawaii to take a look at?
This has been my learning for us, is that Hawaii's problems will be solved by Hawaiians, and that by focusing on the values of the community and the people whom you're trying to serve and finding your areas of commonality and then continuing to hold yourself accountable to those values, I don't know that you can't help but be successful, even with, a law enforcement perspective that says that we have to, address these issues of law enforcement. And people will say, you can't do housing first, or people who will say, you can't put people into, whatever the things we know we can't do, all of them can be managed through a focus on values and a continued a relentless approach to hope. Research shows that hope is one of the most important predictive factors in whether or not behavior will change. And while we leverage that in an individual approach with a young person or a family and the service worker, we've also got to leverage that for ourselves as members of the community and as government and the other sectors that are working on this issue. We have to have hope and believe that we can make the difference. And oddly enough, when we do that, that's what happens.
It becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Mary Lee is the director of the Community Services Division and the Community Action Director for Multnomah County, Oregon.